This is live from Studio A, and I'm Christine Dean, and we are very happy to welcome today a guy all the way from Mentonia, Mississippi, Jimmy Duck Holmes. Welcome, Jimmy. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
And he's already got the guitar going here, and you have a show tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth, and that starts at 8:30 tonight. Doors open at 7:30.
Thank you.
So if people want to check that out, that's where and when they can do that. You know, Jimmy, I've done some reading on you, and the one thing I didn't find an answer to was where you got the nickname Duck. Where did that come from?
Well, I knew that question was coming, and I asked the same question sometime. Where did I get that? I mean, I has no slightest idea. I try to recollect when I got started calling Jimmy Duck, but I know since I've been kind of going around with this old guitar, I get called that quite often, but how it actually came about, I really don't have the slightest idea.
All right. But it's how they know you now, it sounds like. So
Jimmy Duck Holmes.
And you grew up in Mississippi, and you had a big family, and you run a juke joint down there, and you have been doing music, and so many things to ask you, but why don't we get started with a song first, and then we'll come back and talk about some of that. What do you want to play first?
Yeah, I'm going to run in a not recently recorded, but we just are getting ready to release it, and the title of the song is Pencil and Paper. I'm going to do a couple verses of it, and then we'll talk a little bit more, and I'll do something else. And by the way, if you want to hear the entire song, you got to come on out tonight. Now, I ain't going to let you sit up at home and wrap back on your sofa this afternoon and listen to it. If you want to hear it all, you got to come on out and join us tonight. Again, the title of the song is Pencil and Paper. Somebody loaned me a pencil and a piece of paper. So I can drop my little girl one or two lines. Somebody loaned me a pencil and a piece of paper so I can drop my little girl one or two lines. I ain't got no telephone, but I just want to drop a one or two line. It was early one summer morning. Early one summer day. Yes, it was early one summer morning. Early one summer day. My woman packed a suitcase, and you know she walked away. She left me early, early that morning. Didn't even say goodbye. She left early that morning. Then Avon say goodbye. She left me early that morning. Didn't even say the reason why. It's gonna be a lot more like that tonight. You're gonna miss a treat.
That is Jimmy Duck Holmes, and he is live from Studio A here. Jimmy, will you, for people that might not know, you play in something called the Bentonia style, named after the area that you're from. Will you talk a little bit about that?
It was a style. It goes as far back as I believe. They get kind of confused as to where it actually started, but it was a guy named Henry Stucker did a short tour of duty, I believe, military duty in France. Either he picked up some pointers on it over there and brought it back to Bentonia, one way or the other. Anyway, a guy called Henry Stucker, he's real well known in the blues music industry, but he didn't do no recording. But he taught some guys came along with him after he came back from Europe, and they picked up this particular style, and it's a unique style, so the musicians say, and it goes all the way back to Bentonia. It is known as the Bentonia style of blues, or the Bentonia style of tuning a guitar. And like I say, it was other guys like Henry Stuckey, Jack Orr, Skip James. They're the one that kind of credited to carry it to the general public.
And Jack is kind of the one that you learned from, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I pretty much learned. Now, the first guitar I ever had hands on was actually Henry Stuckey out at the age of 7 years old.
Wow.
But I actually learned most of what I know from a guy called Jack Orr. He was the one that actually kind of made it public, along with a couple other guys, Cornelius Bright and Jacob Stuckey. But Jack Owens won more or less credit for doing a lot of recording under that same title, the Bentonia style of blues.
So you said you first put your hands on a guitar when you were seven?
1957.
Wow.
In the fall of the year, right.
And was it love at first play, or?
some things are meant to be. And I think that's when the seed was actually planted, because I had no contact with a guitar, none whatsoever, other than seeing Mr. Henry with that guitar.
Mm-hmm.
My family had no radios, no TV. Every now and then, somebody, we would visit someone with their radio. Before me being asked to say, listen to the radio, it was out. Now, the original juke joint was at my house about 10 or 15 steps away from my house. And my mom and dad had a jukebox or a Seabird or whatever. And the only music that I was in contact with was the music that the guy would come in and play on the jukebox, or somebody would come by with a guitar on their shoulder playing music. And that was the only way.
Okay. And the juke joint you're talking about is the Blue Front Cafe, right?
Yes, Blue Front Cafe, Bentonia, Mississippi.
Which is, I don't remember if you or the juke joint are older. You're about the same age, right?
No.
Your parents started it sometime?
No. For the ownership, by way of my family, I got the juke joint probably 1 year. I was born in 1947. Juke joint started in 1948 under my mom and dad.
Right.
And I took it over in 1970. Matter of fact, 45 years on the first of this month that I've been running it.
Wow.
Never been closed. And people who research that kind of stuff say it is the oldest surviving juke joint in the state of Mississippi. Surviving means it has never been closed.
Mm-hmm.
Not rebirthed, not reopened. It has never been closed since 1948.
Wow, that's a great heritage.
7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. And I was kind of curious, because so you've played music for most of your life, is that right?
Off and on, yeah.
Yeah,
on.
But you didn't kind of get more serious about it until 2006, or you put out your first album then, is that right?
October 2005.
Okay.
I had no way of knowing, no idea that anybody was interested in what I was doing, or what I could do, or what I was capable of doing. This guy was in research of somebody who was familiar with the Bentonia style of playing, or somebody who knew the guy that played it. And the guy came by on Saturday afternoon and asked me if I knew anybody, if I could do a little of the Bentonia style of playing. I told him, yeah, and like wildfire ever since. And of course, these guys keep flying the fire.
Well, and I imagine you were pretty busy running your business too.
Yeah, but being a country boy, once something become routine with you, it's another day's journey.
Okay.
Whatever come with the rise of the sun, mm-hmm. you gotta lay with it.
Mm-hmm. There were I read there were 10 kids in your family growing up, right?
Well, it was 10 in my 10 by mother birth, but she raised about four of her siblings because okay. them, which was her sister, they died early on, and she just kept the kids. No, and it was 16.
Okay, so where did you fit in into that age wise? I'm just curious.
I'm the second to the last born out from my mom.
Oh, okay.
One more. I got one brother younger than I am.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. So you kind of grew up with the juke joint and with, you know, what the music that passed through there. Yeah. Did a lot of people come and play there? You said there was the jukebox.
Yeah, when I was younger.
Okay.
Now, the juke joint, like I said, had been part of my, when I could remember myself, I remember the juke joint and me and my family being part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And in the early days, we was talking earlier, it was guitar players and blues players throughout the community. But mm-hmm. as time passed, and that kind of became extinct. You know, you had four or five. Three or four, then I got on them. I was just me playing the old blues. Now you know you got more musicians, but these are gospel church music, or the kind of upbeat hip hop R&B. But when it comes to old blues,
mm-hmm.
that's it, me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have young people come and seek you out and say, "Hey, teach me some of this"?
No, but the young people really don't like to be identified with it because they got a misconception about it. They feel like blues is related to hard time, depression. That's not true. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
That's far from true. Well, you had guys that made songs about the good times they had.
Yeah.
You know. So, but that, like I said, that's a misconcept.
Yeah. So you've put out a few albums, right?
Yeah. We got a couple more waiting to be released. Soon we get the green light on it.
Great. And it's kind of a mixture. You do some traditional stuff, but you also have written some of your own stuff. How long have you been doing that?
Oh, since day one.
Okay.
And I don't write it. I memorize it.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to keep it original. The guys I learned from couldn't read nor write.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to feel like, I don't want to discredit them trying to play not just exactly what they play, but play the same style of music. And make them feel a little by me getting their pencil and paper and start writing lyrics because they couldn't do it because they couldn't read or write.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I want to be identified with them to that extent where I can memorize certain lyrics. Might not get it right at the same time, but I want to try my best to be as close to laying in the bed, coming up with some lyrics, and get up the next day and start playing it.
Wow, and you don't write them down. Wow. So I bet they evolve a bit as you play. They probably evolve and change.
Oh, yeah.
Although then you record them, and then you have kind of a definitive
sometimes
version.
If I feel what I'm getting a little bit rusty on what I learned from them, I'll stick a CD in and kind of get my memory refreshed and so that I don't forget it. But sometimes my listening audience want to hear some of the old, not so much of the same lyric, but the same tuning of the guitar. So I have to kind of stay refreshed on that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's hear another song. What do you want to play next?
Okay, I'll reach back in my bag. Little girl, you know you're traveling a little bit too fast. You better slow down, slow down. or you ain't gonna last. I said, slow down, slow down. Slow down. You need to change your way. I said, slow down. You need to change your way. You better slow down. Slow down. Before you end up in early grave. I said, slow down, just let me talk to you. I said, slow down. Just let me talk to you. Slow down, slow down. Before something bad happened to you.
That is Jimmy Duck Holmes live from Studio A. And I hear you have a big festival down there at the Blue Front Cafe as well every year. Tell me about that.
Yes, it's something we started, I want to say, me and my mom back 1972, and it actually got started just a community gathering. And of course, at that particular time, we had just a DJ playing blues music, and most of the community pretty much volunteered the food, and everything was free, food and beverage. But then the next year, we decided to get a live blues band, and they wanted a few proceeds. And the next year, the crowd started getting bigger, and the food started running out. So I said, well, we got to start doing something to generate some funds to accommodate the crowd. And as it grew over the years, they started calling it the Bitonia Blues stuff, but it actually got started as a Bitonia community reunion. And it is humongous, and it is the oldest running blues stuff in the state of Mississippi. And it was, 43 years old this past third Saturday in June.
Wow.
It is always the third Saturday in June. And I guarantee this, and so far, it's a money-back guarantee. And out of 43 years, I had to refund no money. And that guarantee is going to be some blues music, and it's going to be hot. And so far, that guarantee ain't failed yet.
Mm-hmm. How big a town is Bentonia?
I'm going to say within the immediate city, which is really not a city. It used to be. Pretty much every building in town now is closed or torn down or boarded up.
Mm-hmm.
The only surviving is a Blue Front Cafe. You got a bank and you got a farm supply store. Mm-hmm. And within the immediate city limit, probably 300 or 400. But now you got some big communities that where people used to live in the city. But after they come along with the government afforded housing, they bought little spots of land and kind of moved out.
Okay.
I'm going to say less than 500 actually live right in there walking with the distance.
So when you have that big festival, it sounds like you kind of increase the population temporarily by quite a bit.
They flocks in from all over the state,
mm-hmm.
United States, even Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big event. Mm-hmm. It's a small town festival, a big festival atmosphere. Yeah, it was a small town festival, a big festival atmosphere. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, and you're on something called the Blues Trail, is that right? Which I don't know
much about.
So tell me about that.
The Blue Front acquired a Blues Trail marker, which identifies the Blue Front as being the oldest juke joint in the state of Mississippi. And they got a little history written on it about my mom and dad, and of course myself, and guys like Jack Orange and Skip Jane. They also got some couple of sentences on there about them too, because at one time they would come to the Blue Front and play for just tip. They'll set the little hat down and get the guitar and start playing it. And back in the old days, now when I was a kid, if you could collect 50 or 60 cents worth of tips, that was almost a week's work. So it was a big payday, per se.
And not a bad way to do it.
Right, exactly.
And you've traveled a lot with this music. I was seeing pictures on your Facebook page of your trip to France.
Yeah, I mean, I could possibly if they hadn't found out that I really don't like to fly. It's not about dying, because you die in your bedroom. It's just them long 8-hour flights where you got to be pretty much confined for 8 hours. That's the part of it, Bobby. And I always tell people, a person is stupid to worry about dying. You're going to die anyway. No. I mean, to lose 1 ounce of rest contemplating dying, you're wasting time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to change it.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't going to extend it. You ain't going to shorten it. It's going to happen. I'm real short patient.
Yeah.
Just think about 8 hours now, you know.
Yeah, I know that little seat. Yep.
All you can do is walk the aisle to the restroom.
Yeah.
Come back and sit down.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I was in Europe, I believe, two times last year, wasn't it? Two mm-hmm. times last year, you know.
So it sounded like there's a connection. I saw, you know, you were by a plaque, something about the blues that they have over there. Like there's a connection.
Oh, yeah, when they are.
Like there's a blues festival.
It was a location, in Carves, France,
mm-hmm.
where back in the day, that was one of the main locations where guys like Muddy Waters and some of the American greats, that was one of the first locations where they started having their concerts or festivals with American artists, and American or whoever designated that place for the site for an American Blues Trail landmarker. And I was there for the ceremony.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I just thought that was interesting that they have that in France.
They said they had searched around. It's a lot of blues musicians still exist. But the type of blues that I play, they said pretty much nobody was still around that was doing, and they feel like that particular occasion was suited for what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I end up in it.
Oh, okay. So, you know, are you worried when you're gone, the music is going to be gone? Do you think people will...
I'm gonna be here a long time. They got to figure out some other way. I'll be here. That's where I look at. I'll be here. Now, y'all, what about when I leave? I'm gonna be here. Whoever they got drafted to take my place, they got to stand in line a long time.
Well, that's good. Good. Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, I go about doing workshop, especially the university blues in the school, trying to instill in the young people, even if they don't love the music, appreciate it enough, if you are a musician now, appreciate it enough to learn to do it. It don't mean that's going to be your most favorite music, because it belongs to America. And you don't expect them to love it. But at least if you are a musician now, if you're aspiring to be a musician, learn where the music comes from, if nothing else. Just know that whatever you're doing, hip-hop, R&B, blues is the foundation of all of it. And that's what when I go do workshop, it's the first time I teach it. Mm-hmm. Or try to teach them anyway. That's the first time I tell them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good way to go about it, because that's true. You know, every...
Because a lot of them don't know that. All of it is built up on the foundation, which is the blues.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rock and roll, hip-hop, all of it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Let's hear another tune. What do you want to finish up with here, Jimmy?
We just do a small portion of Some Kind of Fast and let them know. I don't really do dancing music. So glad, so glad. My baby's coming home. So glad, so glad. My baby's coming home. I'm so glad I won't have to be alone.
Now, you said you don't play dancing music, but I was reading an article somewhere, and you said you kind of have to read the crowd, and you have to, like, see, all right, do these people want to move, or do they want... So.
If it comes to time, I mean, most of my stuff is more or less based around telling true stories, or true to the extent that either I have experienced it, or I know someone that did. And most of my crowd, they're pretty much listening. So far, the crowd, we had a packed house last night, and it was used to be once a church, but if you didn't know anybody, you'd have thought it was a church service. Every seat in the house was filled, but they was listening at the good time, me tell those stories. And the same thing at a club the other night, you would expect. They got alcohol on the bar. They was listening attentively. Mm-hmm. I mean, no dance, absolutely, and they were sincere. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know that. They said they thought what I was doing was a thing of the past, and that's why they appreciated it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell the listening artists who listen right now, they don't come out tonight, they're going to miss the treat. And I'd rather be the one that tells somebody for someone had to tell me about it. I like to be the one that go out and tell somebody that I heard Jimmy Duck Home last night in person.
Well, and if people do want to hear you in person, they can go to the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth tonight, and the doors open at 7:30. Show starts at 8:30. And, yeah, your chance to hear the Bentonia style of blues live and in person. Not a very common thing anymore. So thank you so much, Jimmy. It was a pleasure.
And thank you all for inviting me up.
No problem. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Mike Nowitzki. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.